Hello, and welcome to another episode of Rethink Possible, a joint effort between CISO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Rethink Possible explores pockets of awesomeness in school districts as told by school district leaders. I'm Bob McDowell, your host. Let's dig in.
Welcome to today's podcast. I am fortunate to have two folks with me today. From Bloomington Public Schools, I have Dr. Eric Melby, superintendent, and Dr. Jenna Mitchler, assistant superintendent. Thanks for being with me today.
Great to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we talked, you said that you had some interest in talking about how to turn strategic plans into action, which is right up the alley of this podcast. And so maybe to start with, you can share with people, how did you get to a title like this or encapsulating what you're doing into this title?
Well, I'll jump in on that one, Bob. So when I came to Bloomington as superintendent or came back to Bloomington as superintendent 4 years ago, it's exciting, right? You're a first-time superintendent, and it's a district that I had history with, you know, previous jobs and was familiar with the strategic plan. But when you're a new superintendent and the strategic plan is kind of older, right, and maybe not in the forefront for everybody all the time, you want to update, right? And that's what I wanted to do. Went through the whole process, came up with the new strategic plan, and then you're like, okay, I've got it. And I run around a superintendent saying, I don't want this thing to sit in a three-ring binder on, you know, bookshelves all over the district. We want to bring it to life and have it guide our work. And then I went to Dr. Mitchler and said, how are we going to do that? but the heavy lift was then what do you do with this thing? How do we make it come to life? I know that's cliche, but how is it going to guide the work we're doing in Bloomington? How are we going to measure how that's guiding our work? And then a little bit of a bird walk here, but we're part of the group of districts that's been working with John Tanner, came and did some work with AMSD districts a month or so ago. And we signed up to do follow-up work about measuring what matters. So now we're looking at our metrics we chose and going, how do we keep using those metrics, but maybe evolve into some more, you know, qualitative metrics that families are really interested in. Everybody wants their kids to read and do math, but they also want, maybe almost more importantly, them to make friends and know how to problem solve conflicts and manage their emotions and things like that. So that's all wrapped up into kind of where we're at in Bloomington. And then I'll just add that one thing we're trying this year we haven't done before is what we're calling a State of the Schools event in April. And that whole event is wrapped up around our five goal areas. We're going to present on each of those areas and highlight all the great work happening and how we're working to achieve those goals. But behind all that, Dr. Mitchler's been doing a ton of work with principals and program leaders to infuse the strategic plan and the goal areas into their day-to-day work.
So that's a great segue. Jenna, if we can talk about really where the rubber meets the road, right? And before we unpack what you were just explaining, can you maybe start with helping people understand how did you go about organizing the thought behind what do we really need to do first, second, third in order to start implementing the strategic plan?
Yeah. Well, thanks, Bob. Thanks for the question. I think, you know, Dr. Melby has done a fantastic job of helping us think about what are the ways we can take our five goals and figure out where we're at currently with each of those goals and where we need to go, both long-term and short-term. So what we did in Bloomington is we ended up having goal champions for each one of those five goal areas. Goal champions were cabinet members. So for example, we have a goal around quality workforce. And so our HR executive director is the goal champion for that goal. And then those goal champions brought together teams of folks that were made up of people from all over the district, community member parents, we had principal representation, staff representation, and those teams developed what the key performance indicators would be. How are we measuring ourselves for each of those goal areas? And then that's been sort of something we've been working on a lot over the last year and a half, is just trying to get really tight on what are those KPIs, key performance indicators for each goal area. So where are we currently at? And then what are our targets? Where do we want to go? One thing that, you know, Dr. Melby mentioned, doing some work with John Tanner, I think we've come to a point now where we're saying we have some good KPIs, but we're wondering, are they really the things our community wants us to measure? So, you know, do they really want to know how many of our students are reading at a certain level by third grade? And perhaps they do, and perhaps it's something in addition or something else. And so we're trying to get just really clear on what those KPIs are.
So let's stay there for a moment and just back up to the five goal areas and your goal champions. What's the work look like with the goal champions to ensure that with their teams, they're getting to the KPIs, the directions, asking the right questions, that then you and Dr. Melby can come back to and discuss and then get to the next spot? How does that pre-work happen?
Yeah, so those teams met initially and just looked at the goal, and we have two strategies for each of our goal areas. That was all developed as part of our strategic planning process. So those goal teams met in that first year after we had approved our plan and looked at the strategies and decided what they thought those indicators should be. And then those teams, and this is actually guidance that we got from the folks who helped us facilitate our strategic plan process, was that we have a different team come together in the second year. I think because we're in this place where we're sort of iterating on the first set of KPIs, we haven't really shifted to second new teams. But I do know it's been really helpful for especially our goal areas that our principals use for their site improvement plans, which is goals 1 and 2. The first one is academic, future ready, we call it. And the second one is inclusive environment. And so those teams especially have continued to meet and look at their KPIs to try to make sure we're actually getting at what we think our community wants to know.
I will say, too, that Dr. Mitchell has done a really good job, because I used to have her job trying to lead these building and site leaders to come up with, you know, continuous or improvement plans year after year. And I always struggled to make it a meaningful activity for them and their leadership teams, teachers and folks coming together to look at data and then create goals and action plans to get there. I struggled with it, but I think Dr. Mitchler has done a fantastic job of taking the strategic plan work and working with those leaders to infuse it. It's a podcast, so you can't see it, but like the actual sheets of paper or web pages they use to create those plans, and how we guide them and they guide themselves to making decisions about what things are going to focus on. And Jenna can talk about that a little bit more too, but I think is a really, really cool process that I feel is paying off here in Bloomington, because people are engaged and involved and owning those documents related back to the strategic plan.
So let's dig into that, Dr. Mitchler. What, help us understand what that operation looks like. If you're designing the meetings, if you're designing who goes where and what the outcomes of each of those sessions are, what's it look like to operationalize that?
Yeah. So I want to start by just reiterating something that Dr. Melby just said, which is the buy-in and support at every level, right? So when we had the strategic plan finalized and, you know, the board was in full and total support of that strategic plan, you know, that helps us as administration say to everybody else in the organization, this is what we care about. We have portraits of a graduate, portraits of an employee, a portrait of our organization. This is who we want to be as Bloomington Public Schools. And so with that support, everybody can get on board then and say, all right, let's prioritize our work to make sure it's in alignment with these goals of our strategic plan. So you've asked what that looks like to operationalize it. I think once you have the buy-in, like once we were able to establish that buy-in, we could start to bring our principals together, their building leadership teams together. And we started that work in the summer after our first year of implementation. So it was at that point where we had that first set of KPIs, our key performance indicators. And we brought folks together in August, principals, district office leaders, and their building leadership teams. And we said, look at all of the KPIs, the data from across the district. Now look at your site-specific data and choose two goals for yourself, one around future-ready instruction, academics, and the other around inclusive environment. And you as a building and principal, your building leadership team, select a goal where your data is one of two things, either farthest from where the district's average is in a way that shows that it needs to be improved, or trending in the opposite direction of the district's data. And so that has led to us having buildings with lots of different goals, as you can imagine, for those two goal areas of our strategic plan. But they always come back to the key performance indicators that we have as a district decided that we wanted to look to. And as I said, we're still iterating those to some extent, right? But so we have alignment in that we are all aligned to that strategic plan. But what the buildings focus on is based on their current status and their needs.
Perfect. So I don't know which one of you wants to tackle this, but what does, if you have all that going on, there's an element of communication, right? There's an element of internal communication, an element of external communication, and iterations of that going back and forth as you move through this, because it's what I like to call it is you're kind of cascading communication that at very strategic times based on what's going on. Can you help us understand what that communication cycling looks like for the two of you?
Yeah, I'll start, but then probably pass it over to Jenna, because I consider my work to be more on the external communication side of it and working with our communications department, of course. So every time we send out the school pages in Bloomington, right, it's the hottest off-the-press thing in town. Every house gets it. Love it. It's old school communication, but it works, right? Like a little mini newspaper. So every one of those issues that come out four or five times a year has the strategic plan plastered all over it, right? Reminding folks of our tagline, dream, believe, and achieve, our goal areas, our portrait work. It's all embedded in all the stories and or in a standalone thing. So, I mean, that's just a super basic but important piece of that work. If you go to our website, of course, you see how that's displayed all over the place. And of course, the strategic plan has its own webpage, but it's also embedded in all sorts of other places. When I go around town, Bob, you know this from your time as a superintendent, if I'm at the Rotary Club, which I'm at pretty much every week, I'm talking about the strategic plan when I'm given my happy bucks even, or my, you know, news to share to the group or whatever, or a more formal presentation. If I'm going to the Optimist Club, or if Dr. Mitchell or others in my cabinet are, we're talking about this stuff. The State of the Schools event coming up is going to be all about communicating our strategic plan and how we're setting our goals and meeting our goals. And then it's the, you know, the PTA, that we have a district PTA group that I speak with every month, and it's always framed. Pretty much anything I'm publicly doing, communicating, I try to work in the strategic plan, right, as a framework for what I'm trying to explain. So on a 40,000 foot level in Bloomington, at least, that's what it feels like to me. But I know Dr. Mitchler can talk about the structure she has set up in terms of principal input and building leader input and back and forth. I just feel like we've got a really good collaborative effort going, thanks to a lot of her work. And I'll ask Jenna to talk about that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So, you know, I think some of the things you mentioned, Dr. Melby, one of the other ones that our communications department really helps with is something called the inside page. So we also have like an internal staff communication that goes to all staff. And that is just as, you know, Dr. Melby, you were sharing about external communications, we align a lot of what's in that internal communication to our strategic plan too. We also now knew this year we have a monthly collaboration where we bring building principals, cabinet members, and district office, central office leaders together. We call it Leaders as Learners, so we can all be reminded that we are leaders and yet we are always learning. And the idea there is every time we come together, we start with the strategic plan. And the work we do in those sessions is around each site's site improvement plan and how it connects to the strategic plan. Right now, we're focusing on change management, knowing that this is the time of the year where we're starting to plan for next year already. So we're coming together, looking at that strategic plan. And as I said, the buy-in, right, is where it starts. We're all bought into it. We know that's the work we're doing. And so now it's just about how do we make sure that we are taking the action steps we need to take, both as central office supporting the principals and their BLTs, and principals and BLTs with their staff.
Yeah. So the work and what you've discussed so far, and you mentioned it a couple of times, both of you, is this idea around alignment, right? And we all know how important staying aligned is in when you're doing the actual implementation work. If we take on the monthly collaboration meetings and maybe shift gears into then the actual facilitation of those meetings, what is that? Is it the same person facilitating how that group moves every month, or how do you decide who's going to lead that work or portions of that work, and why?
Well, I can start if that's helpful, and then Superintendent Melby, if you have other things that you want to add too about other places we have this work happening. The meeting I just mentioned, Leaders as Learners, was facilitated by at the start of the year with our learning and teaching department, and it was a collaboration with several other departments at the central office. So we had folks from our technology department, folks from our special education department, all coming together to sort of co-plan those sessions. Now, because we're shifting into change management a little bit more, the facilitation has shifted a little bit more to the cabinet level. And so we're bringing in some guest speakers and doing that sort of thing. So that's what the Leaders as Learners session. I want to talk about another place where we're bringing principals and cabinet members together as well, because I think it's helpful for context of how we're implementing our strategic plan. The other meeting that we have, or I guess I would say, professional learning session really for all of us is for cabinet members and principals only. We do not have that sort of like next level of leadership at central office all coming together at this meeting. It's just our principals and our cabinet members. And that's a monthly meeting with the purpose of two things, really: coming together under our strategic plan, making sure we're all very clear about what the strategic plan is, familiarizing ourselves with the KPIs and so on, and then really to build trust and relationship, because what we're finding is principals have to feel like they have to be getting the support they need, right, from cabinet and central office in order to be able to operationalize these things. And so we have picked up this is a little plug here from the University of Minnesota has been collaborating with the University of Washington's Center for Educational Leadership, and they have a principal support framework. And so for 2 years now, we've been doing work with that framework through the University of Minnesota. And we continue to do that work. We're not there. We haven't arrived yet. But, you know, I will say anecdotally, I hear from principals saying it feels to me like I have a different type of relationship with a lot of the cabinet folks in terms of the support I get from them.
So maybe take that one step further. Two parts to this question. One, you've talked a little bit about your state of schools, so the big state of schools tax day. But along the way, so part one of the question is, along the way, what are the check-ins? What are the benchmarking? Is it the meetings, and what does that look like as far as benchmarking, how you're doing? And then the second part of the question is, with strategic planning, we're all aware that at the district level, at the building principal level, we can have the greatest plans. But where it kind of starts to at least perceive to fall apart is the teachers in the classroom not understanding why they're doing what they're doing, when they're like, what's going on. How do you combat that? And so kind of the related questions is why I'm asking them together is, what are the benchmarking? And then down into the teaching trenches, and maybe even farther into paraprofessionals and other non-certified staff. How do you ensure that they're aligned with the work that you're doing?
Jen, are you okay if I take part one and you take part two? along the way, reporting and benchmarking, yeah, our State of the Schools event will be fun. And as you know, and anybody listening knows that Minnesota, I can't remember what the fancy new name is, but World's Best Workforce Reporting happens, you know, for us in early December usually. And we just make sure that we have regular updates for the board. Dr. Mitchler just gave us an update on strategic plan and gave examples of those improvement plans that she works on with the building and site leaders. I don't know when it was, Jenna, a month or so ago, maybe. So when I'm working with the chair and vice chair to plan out, you know, upcoming board sessions, and we have study sessions in Bloomington that are a little less formal, and then, you know, once a month business meetings, unless we need more. We go deep dive in a lot of study sessions, sharing documents and information and answering questions. We might bring our research and evaluation executive director to help do that. And then we tend to follow up at a business meeting with a Cliff Notes version of that, right? So it's not a 45-minute presentation, but it's like, we talked about this at the study session and here's some highlights around how we're doing with various goal areas. So I feel like between like regular board meeting, public facing updates for everybody and question and answer sessions, like every other district, we do board retreats a couple times a year where we can get into some deep dive data and information and answer questions. And then we've got some board committees, actually four committees of the board, so three-member committees that we have with their public meetings in Bloomington. A few of those, like our equitable resources is our fifth goal. So we have a finance and facilities committee that meets with our finance director and myself. That one's not a regular standing meeting. It's kind of as needed, but like many districts, we're going through budget reductions in Bloomington. So having that group be reminded every time they meet that they're meeting in part because they're helping us meet our equitable resources goal of our strategic plan helps frame that. And then we can highlight that at meetings when we're giving recommendations on, you know, budget reductions or things we're going to do to make our budget work. So I feel like, and maybe I'm only looking at it, hopefully I'm answering your question, Bob, but I'm looking at it through a public facing and school board lens of how are we benchmarking ourselves? How are we reporting on ourselves? And then the thing, Jenna mentioned it in her last answer. She mentioned it a couple of times, and I have to temper myself because I'm like, where's the final result? You know, what's this look like? And with a strategic plan and with this kind of work, as you know, you have to be patient, right? Like Jenna referenced, like the whole first year was just kind of figuring out how we're going to do it. Then the second year is pulling these teams together. So I have to remind the public, the board, you know, we had 90 people on our strategic planning team from the community, right? They're like, well, what, you know, when do we get to be on an action team? You know, it's like, we're getting there, but just, you know, I feel like we're making great strides, but it goes a little bit slow sometimes too. So just reminding folks that to do it right, you gotta take your time a little bit.
Yeah, I want to just first give, you know, like big props to our department leaders and our principals. So, you know, I think about the goal champions for goals 1 and 2, those goals I keep on coming back to that really our principals are focusing in on. We call those our program leader cabinet members. And so that's our executive director of student services, Jennifer McIntyre, our executive director of technology and innovation, John Weiser. And then for the goal number 1, Andy Kubis is our executive director of learning and teaching, and Julio Caesar in research and evaluation, executive director there. I mean, they've really done a lot of work to work with their teams to make sure their teams are doing work that's in alignment with the plan. Principals are also doing the work, as I mentioned, with their building leadership teams. But then I'm also seeing it in staff meetings and other places as I walk around the buildings. So I'm in buildings try to be in every single building at least once every 3 weeks, I'm there. But to see the spaces where principals are and how they're talking about the work we're all a part of and that we're all doing. And when I see them do that, I see them refer to the strategic plan. So I think it's those leaders continually talking about and resurfacing it and making sure the work that we're doing is truly aligned.
I'll jump in real quick to Bob on that one as well, because when I was an aspiring superintendent, perhaps a decade or more ago, it was like, I can't wait to be a superintendent and make a new strategic plan. And like every teacher, I'll walk into the room and they'll go, I'm so glad our mission says this and our vision, you know, that doesn't happen. These are busy people with hard jobs do it. But as long as that structure to build that alignment is in place, whether they know it or not necessarily, they're working on the strategic plan goals, right? As long as we're keeping ourselves in alignment, and that's where the building principal and site leader work is so important. And I would like to, you know, this is a podcast about Bloomington, so I'll brag. I think we're leaders in paraprofessional, professional development for those folks as well. We've got a mentoring program for our paras. We've had dedicated professional development for them. And again, working in collaboration with the unit leads to create those training opportunities, we try to frame things again around the strategic plan. It's not like we're we're pounding it into paraprofessionals' head. Remember goal two. The things that they're learning are related to goal two, right? So so that work's important too.
So I typically end with trying to give either people who are new superintendents or people who are sitting in a chair now and want to engage in this activity, right? Maybe they are at the spot you were 2 years ago. What would be the one, two, or three things that you could give as advice to say, if you're going to take this on, here's really the one, two, or three things you have to do in order to see that short-term, long-term success?
Well, a couple thoughts come to mind, and that's, you know, do your research and find the right partners to help you with the work, right? It's got to be a good fit for you personally, for your organization, for the values. Whatever your current strategic plan looks like, you probably have a mission and vision and some core values, you know, so pay attention to those. And then, you know, it's Jen's talked about relationships, right? I mean, we're in a relationship business in education. Former superintendent here used to say, we've got the longest production line in the history of anything. You know, we take kindergarten or from kids from birth to 22 and all the variables that go into that. And so you can't do that work, you know, like it's widget work, right? It's got to be personalized. It's got to be relational. And you got to be nimble and be able to adapt. And so when I talked about the fact that I, you know, in my back of my mind, I'm like, when's this going to be done? What do these templates look like? What is it, you know, patience, right? So that's my other piece of advice is just get ready. It's a marathon, not a sprint, and just go into it realizing that. And don't beat yourself up if you don't think you're making enough progress as you start the work of strategic planning or trying to bring more alignment into your school district.
Yeah, I would add on to that too, Dr. Melby. I was going to say relationships too. And I think somebody said to me once, we can move at the pace of trust. Like we have to have trust with one another and relationships with one another in order to work together to make it happen, make it come to life.
That's great. Well, thank you both for being with me today. We've been talking about strategic planning and how to actually operationalize and implement that strategic planning work. And we've had Dr. Eric Melby and Dr. Jenna Mitchler, who are from Bloomington Public Schools, with us today. Thank you both for being with me and sharing your insights.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rethink Possible with Bob McDowell, a joint effort between CSIL, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators.